morning, Father. So we thank you that your Holy Spirit is present to lead and guide us into all truth, Father. Thank you, Father, that out of our belly, out of my belly, shall flow rivers of living water, Father, that your truth will be made evident, Father, that I can speak as the oracles of you, Father. I thank you that you are present to heal, deliver, and set free this morning. Thank you, Father, for your word, which is anointed, Father. Let me speak it clearly, Father, and with boldness. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you. We are going to be in the book of beginnings, Genesis. So for those of you who need help finding it in your Bibles, it's the very first book. Makes it easy. We're not going to go to Zechariah. It's a little bit harder to find for some of us. Genesis, we're actually going to be in Genesis chapter 26. I want to share, well, there's a lot of things that I'll end up sharing, but we'll start off with, I guess, the message is how grace covers genetic predispositions and a bad economy. Grace covers genetic predispositions and a bad economy. So we're going to be looking at Genesis chapter 26. Let's look through verses 1 through 6. It says here, "Now there was a famine in the land, besides the previous famine that had occurred in the days of Abraham. So Isaac went to Gerar to Abimelech, king of the Philistines. The Lord appeared to him and said, 'Do not go down to Egypt. Stay in the land of which I shall tell you. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with you and bless you. For to you and to your descendants I will give all these lands, and I will establish the oath which I swore to your father Abraham. I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven, and will give your descendants all these lands, and by your descendants all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Because Abraham obeyed me and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws.' So Isaac lived in Gerar." Notice in this particular passage, God gave specific instructions for or to Isaac as far as where he was not to go and where he was. And it's important for us as believers to hear and listen to that still small voice when God gives us direction. I remember when I was graduating the University of Texas at Austin with electrical engineering degree, obviously at the time I was looking for an engineering job. And so they have a very good career center at the university. They'll set up interviews, go through all these different things. You just get your resume together and so forth. Very, very good program. I knew at the time that I was going to House of the Lord. I started coming to House of the Lord in 1991, 92. How do I know that? Because I have notes from a message in 1991. Because I don't remember when I started, but going through my notes, I found one. Pastor wrote it, and y'all should... I know he says don't look at stuff... 4 years prior to when he was teaching, this was many, many years ago, he said, "Look, all my tapes, all my stuff," tapes, he said, notice that, that's how old this was. He said, "All my stuff 4 years ago, you know, throw it out, we're teaching different." I got stuff from 1991. And it was funny because you go through those old notes and he had some clever titles to those messages. Now it's, you know, obviously, hey, it's the meat of what's in it, but I used to love those titles that he would pick. So going back to graduating, there was an opportunity for me. During the summers at UT, I would go back home, and I had an internship at what was at the time MCI, became MCI WorldCom, 4 years making good money. I was paid during the summer. Y'all just don't know. It was great living. No bills, living with my mom. And I remember graduating, and I got to House of the Lord. I was at House of the Lord by the time, because, again, I started here way back with when Brother John was bringing me with Tara and the crew. And I knew that this is where God had called me, that I needed to be in Austin. Now, when you're interviewing, you're susceptible to, you know, where places are hiring. So I had people who were looking at me from Houston, Dallas, and all these other areas. I didn't have too much prospects here in Austin. Now, I could have gone and worked at MCI WorldCom right after college, because they would have hired me on the spot, because I'd been there 4 years. They knew my caliber. I made a commitment to myself at that time that I would not interview anybody who was hiring in Dallas or Houston. Why was that? Because I knew in my heart God had called me to Austin. And it was a very, very difficult situation because the opportunities were Dallas, Houston, and then, of course, you've got, you know, talking about I'm leaving the room. You got my mom, you know, telling me, hey, what are you doing? Why are you staying in Austin? I'm here, and, you know, you've got these opportunities, Rockwell, TI, all these different places wanting to, you know, talk to you, and you won't go on these. No. If they're not in Austin, I can't do it. Determination. Because this is where God called me. Even if the pickings are slim, if you will, even if the opportunity is not there, I know where God called me. And Isaac was able to hear from God. He said way back here, it says, look, do not go down to Egypt. Now, fortunately, Isaac listened, but the part of the story that's missing is we don't know what would have happened if he had gone down there, you understand? Because he was protected from that. Some of us have testimonies in our life of how God brought us through, but those testimonies started because we didn't listen to God in the first place. He told us not to do something. He told us not to go somewhere, and yet we wanted to find out ourselves. You know, I was learning this thing called parenting, and I heard a long time ago that with parenting, there's, you know, you got your kids, the ones who you tell them to do something, and all they need to hear is mama's orders, daddy's orders, and they won't do it. And then you got the other kids that they hear something from their parents, and they want to see if what mama and daddy said is accurate, so they got to go test it. I'm one of the former. God said, don't do something, I'll tend to, you know, obey. And so we see this with Isaac. He says, don't go to Egypt. I want you to stay in the land. What was happening around this area? What was happening in this land?
Famine.
Famine. I need you to stay in Austin, even though Texas Instruments, they want to fly you out and interview you. Rockwell, they want to talk to you. Nope. I can't. Because I knew if I got a job offer, guess where, you know, I didn't want to have that temptation. You know, they slapped us down, and anyway. Following God says, do not go down to Egypt. Stay in the land which I shall tell you. Sojourn in this land. I will be with you and bless you. The blessings of God are where you are supposed to be. You know, many times we come to God, why is this not happening? Why am I not walking in the blessing that God has for me? And it could be because you are not at the right address. Pastor used to say this all the time, that God is constantly blessing his people, but he's delivering it to the address of where you are, or you're where you're supposed to be. And what's interesting, let me tell you about the grace of God. Whenever we get back to where God wanted us to be in the first place, those packages are still there. We didn't lose those blessings or those benefits, but we had to go in the direction that God called us to, or be where God put us. Now, notice the blessing. He says, I will bless you and your descendants. I'll give all these lands. I'll establish the oath which I swore to your father Abraham. Well, what was this oath that he swore to the father Abraham? Go back to Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 5. Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 5. It says here, now the Lord said to Abraham, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and so you shall be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you, and the ones who curse you, who curses you, I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. So Abraham went forth as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. Now Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Abram took his wife and Lot, his nephew, and all their possessions which they had accumulated, and the persons which they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan. Thus they came to the land of Canaan. Now, fast forward. Y'all know that Abraham was blessed, right?
Yes.
Did he follow the Lord?
Not always.
Not to a T. What did God tell him not to bring in verse 1?
Relatives.
Who did Abram bring? And y'all remember that they had to be divided later because there was commotion and Lot ended up taking the better. So you understand, God gives us direction. We've got to be inclined to the directions that he gives and go by the specifics of what he says. Very important. So I wanted to throw that in there, but verses 1 through 5, or actually verses 1 through 3, we see what the blessings were that God gave Abram. So Genesis chapter 26, we get back to Isaac. God is going to bless Isaac. Why? Verse 5 says, because Abram obeyed and kept my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. We're going to talk some in depth about this, the genetic predispositions, but understand this, that the blessings that we experience, we tend to think it's because of the things that we do that are good. You know, we do right, we get blessed. We follow God, we get blessed. We do his whatever homework or bidding he says, we get blessed. And we forget that a lot of our blessings has really nothing to do with us.
Right.
It has to do with what he promised previous generation.
Come on. Amen.
Whether it was parents, grandparents, you know, we think, hey, look, I'm blessed. Jennifer and I, we're, you know, got a great family, great kid, and this is, you know, all our doing, this and that. That's a little part of it. God spoke to past generations, and we're receiving the benefits of it. And I will take it even a step further and say that we are blessed because of what Pastor Jim and Sister Lou have spoken over the body.
Amen.
You know, we tend to think, well, I got all this because of what we did. Well, no. He was here speaking this way before. we just celebrated our 37 years ministry anniversary here at House of the Lord. 37 years, Pastor has been speaking things over Austin. Now, I'm 42. Does that give you some perspective? I am 42 years old. He's been speaking these things for 37 years, and I get to benefit from his speaking that many years over Austin. It has nothing to do with it doesn't have everything to do with what I did. It's because of the atmosphere that people like him have spoken. In the same way, the things that you get to experience, the blessing of the Lord, it's much bigger than you. We're talking a generational thing, and this is going to become very, very important. Look at Genesis chapter 26, verse 7 through 11. Let's continue on. When the men of the place asked about his wife, talking about Isaac, he said, she is my sister. Yeah, uh-oh, was right. For he was afraid to say, my wife, thinking the men of the place might kill me on account of Rebekah, for she is beautiful. It came about when he had been there a long time that Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked out through a window and saw, and behold, Isaac was caressing his wife, Rebekah. Uh-oh. Then Abimelech called Isaac and said, behold, certainly she is your wife. Because brothers and sisters don't do what y'all were. That's what he's saying. "How then did you say, 'She is my sister'?" And Isaac said to him, "Because I said I might die on account of her." Abimelech said, "What is this you have done to us? One of the people might easily have lain with your wife, and you would have brought guilt upon us." So Abimelech charged all the people, saying, "He who touches this man or his wife shall surely be put to death." As much as I've studied Scripture, I am a firm believer that our life is about so much more than just our life. It is so much bigger than us and our generation. Now, y'all read verses 7 through 11. I'm going to show you the interesting thing. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12, y'all remember reading the blessings that God spoke to Abraham. Genesis chapter 12, we're going to pick up verse 10. "Now there was a famine in the land." Does that sound familiar? "So Abram went down to Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was severe in the land. It came about when he came near to Egypt that he said to Sarah, his wife, 'See now, I know that you are a beautiful woman. And when the Egyptians see you, they will say, 'This is his wife,' and they will kill me, but they will let you live. Please say that you are my sister so that it may go well with me because of you and that I may live on account of you.' It came about when Abram came into Egypt, the Egyptians saw that the woman was very beautiful. Pharaoh's officials saw her and praised her to Pharaoh, and the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. Therefore, he treated Abram well for her sake and gave him sheep and oxen and donkeys and male and female servants and female donkeys and camels. But the Lord struck Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarah, Abram's wife. Then Pharaoh called Abram and said, 'What is this you have done to me? Why did you not tell me that she was your wife? Why did you say, she is my sister, so that I took her for my wife? Now then, here is your wife. Take her and go.' They escorted him away with his wife and all that belonged to him." Talk about genetic predispositions. Isaac ended up doing the same thing his father did. The same sin, the same lie. Why was that? Because it was carried over to another generation. We talk about generational curses, and I said it at the very beginning, there is healing and deliverance in this place today. Understand this, that there are genetic predispositions that we all deal with because of our parents, because of our grandparents, because of whatever. Now, understand this, a predisposition means a high likelihood or a high probability. It doesn't mean an eventual outcome. So understand that. People say, well, and we commonly see this framed in the reference of disease. You know, every time you go to the doctor, they want to know the health history of parents and sometimes grandparents. They'll ask for paternal history, maternal history, and you got to write that down. I went to the doctor to get, Preston for all his stuff, and it confused me because I'm filling it out, but it's on behalf of him, and then they ask for paternal and maternal, so I'm thinking of my parents and Jennifer's parents, and then I realized, no, that's you and Jennifer. It just got confusing, but the point is they want to look at history. Why? Because there's a predisposition to some things. All right. But understand this, church, that no matter what your dad did to you, no matter what your mom did to you, no matter what your grandparents did to you, just because you are designed, if you will, to carry out those same patterns doesn't mean that it's going to be the outcome of your life. And we're going to see that here in Scripture. Now, if this wasn't shocking enough in Genesis chapter 12, let's go to Genesis chapter 20. Genesis chapter 20. And And it's a lot, so I'm going to speed read because I think y'all can catch it. Now Abram journeyed from there toward the land of the Negev and settled between Kadesh and Shur. Then he sojourned in Gerar. Abram said of Sarai his wife, "She is my sister," so Abimelech. Before it was Pharaoh, now it's Abimelech. He said, "So Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. But God came to Abimelech in a dream of the night and said to him, 'Behold, you are a dead man because of the woman whom you have taken, for she is married.' Now Abimelech had not come near her, and he said, 'Lord, will you slay a nation even though blameless? Did he not himself say to me, "She is my sister," and she herself said, "He is my brother. In the integrity of my heart and the innocence of my hands, I have done this.' Then God said to him in the dream, 'Yes, I know that in the integrity of your heart you have done this, and I also kept you from sinning against me. Therefore, I did not let you touch her. Now, therefore, restore the man's wife, for he is a prophet, and he will pray for you, and you will live. But if you do not restore her, know that you shall surely die, you and all who are yours.' So Abimelech arose early in the morning and called all his servants and told all these things in their hearing, and the men were greatly frightened. Then Abimelech called Abram and said to him, 'What have you done to us, and how have I sinned against you, that you have brought on me and on my kingdom a great sin? You have done to me things that ought not to be done.' And Abimelech said to Abraham, 'What have you encountered that you have done this thing?' Abram said, because I thought, 'Surely there is no fear of God in this place, and they will kill me because of my wife. Besides, she is actually my sister, the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother, and she became my wife.'" You got to read that twice. "And it came about when God caused me to wander from my father's house that I said to her, 'This is the kindness which you will show to me everywhere we go. Say of me, "He is my brother."' Abimelech then took sheep and oxen and male and female servants and gave them to Abraham and restored his wife Sarah to him. Abimelech said, 'Behold, my land is before you. Settle wherever you please.' To Sarah he said, 'Behold, I have given your brother 1,000 pieces of silver. Behold, it is your vindication before all who are with you, and before all men you are cleared.' Abram prayed to God, and God healed Abimelech and his wife and his maid so that they bore children. For the Lord had closed fast all the wombs of the household of Abraham because of Sarah, Abram's wife." This is a demonstration of 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13, which tells us that even in our faithlessness, God is still faithful. One of the things I want to bring out that the Spirit of God opened up to me just as I was reading this, actually, is that as believers, we've got to understand that even though we walk in grace, even though we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and even though we can get in circumstances and situations, sins that we can commit sins, if you will, even though there's liberty and coverage for us, we don't know the damage it's causing to others. Abraham and Isaac were blessed people, and they lied. And that didn't change God's covenant blessing with them, but it caused a curse to come upon those who would dare come against the people of God. So understand that your walk is not just about you. It's not just about the blessings that are overtaking you, which they are overtaking you. You have liberty to go sin. I know you won't hear that in most churches, but you have liberty to go and do wrong. The issue is it can cause harm and damage to others. It can cause you to be a stumbling block to them. We're talking about, and have been talking about at the ministry anniversary celebration, outreach and discipleship. Understand, Paul wrote and said it very, very specifically, all things are lawful, but not all things are expedient or beneficial. He said that. Go back to Genesis chapter 26. We're studying, and I'm going to see if we get through the whole chapter, but understand this, that Isaac was predisposed to some things. Just like I've been predisposed to some things that maybe went on with my father, maybe went on with my mom. You know, I grew up in a dysfunctional family, if you will, but, you know, I never saw it as dysfunctional. I considered it. That's just the way it was. You know, I think everyone has, to some degree, a dysfunctional family, you know, even if you got both parents there. But when I was a teenager, that's when my parents had separated. And for me, I didn't understand it. You know, I'd grown 13 years, mom, dad, always together. Me and my brother, well, I don't understand growing up. You know, I didn't understand it. And, you know, they had to talk with us as the kids, you know, hey, we're getting divorced, blah, 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 and you know the rest of how that story goes. And I remember, y'all want to know my first counseling session? It was as a kid. I was, you know, God groomed me for ministry. I didn't understand at the time. I sat, you know, I was talking to my mom and my dad, and we were in the living room, and I said to my mom, hey, do you love dad? She said, yes. And I said to my dad, do you love my mom? He said, yes. I was like, well, then what's the problem? As a teenager, I didn't understand. This is, hey, as simple as that. Do you love? Okay, that. All right, let's go play. Let's go. You know, problem solved. Let's stay together. It's not that simple. My dad and I'm, you know, I've made a commitment to just be real with y'all and just share, you know, let y'all learn through me. So I'll share any. Well, not anything. You know, at that time, my parents separated, and I don't know how this worked out, but I ended up with my mom. And my brother ended up with my dad. I thought that was normal. There's two kids, you divide in half and you split. Well, until I grew up, that I was like, Kenna, why'd they separate the boys? I thought that's the way you split them in half. And then, you know, I didn't know that there was anything different, that you're supposed to keep the kids together and so forth. So don't have a tight relationship with my dad. But I, you know, keep up with them every once in a while. And, okay, I'll share some things. This is the Spirit of God telling me. You know, I always get these promises that, you know, hey, you know, whenever I talk to my dad, hey, it's great to talk to you. It's good to hear your voice. It's good to connect with you. He was even at our baby shower, which, interestingly enough, since he was there, it's a delicate situation, couldn't invite my mom. You know, it's weird, you know. It's once arrival for dad, so he has never, to this day, he's never met Preston. Preston is 2 years old, about to turn 3. He was at the baby shower. You know, I get these calls, hey, it's good to connect, and I'm glad we're talking again, and, you know, I made this promise, you know, I'm going to call you every week, you know, we need to keep this connection up. 2 months, 3 months, 6 months. Get a call. Hey, good to talk to you again. It's you know, we're gonna keep this connection up, and I'm gonna promise to talk to you every week. Dad's remarried. Spends a lot. I connected with him through social media. He and his wife, third wife, they've got a son just going to college, and man, there's a tight communication there. You know, and I look at it, and of course, I can have issues and deal with that, but I choose not to let that affect me. You know, the love that he has for his stepson, but what about me and my brother, Oliver? I say that to not to bring up that aspect of it, but to bring up this other aspect. I may be predisposed to some things. And so I look at the lineage of my father. I look at the lineage of my mom, and I've got to be careful. Yes, we walk in deliverance, but that doesn't mean that we're not predisposed to carry out some of the same things. It used to baffle me a lot that, you know, people who were in abusive relationships, why they keep going back into another one. They get free, set free, and then they go into another abusive relationship. Predispositions. Things that need to be broken or corrected with the Word of God.
Amen.
With the anointing, with seasoned people in the ministry to teach you, to train you, to raise us up. Jennifer and I, we had this discussion, obviously before Preston was born, trying to figure out a name for Preston. Apparently, it's one of the hardest decisions for couples to come to because they don't come to an agreement. Finally, it's going to be the man that just says, okay, fine, that's fine. But she was very set on naming Preston Kenneth Jr. Kenneth Jr. And while that sounds good, Jennifer adores me, which is, it's a good thing. She adores me, but I know the lineage of Kenneth. And I didn't want every time I called him by name that I remembered some of the things that impacted me. And so for me, it had to be a different name. And she kept pushing, why not Kenneth? Why not Kenneth? And I never explained it to her. It's because I know what's associated with that name. And I needed to, every time I look at him and call him, that he's not predisposed to some things that I dealt with or that I went through growing up. There's so much in a name and what you call someone. And so she came to Preston, which I wasn't excited about it originally for a, not a very spiritual reason. But the name means priest-like. And I was like, yeah, that's great and all. And it was a great a name for Preston. She was going to raise him up. He was going to be, you know, this and that. I'm going to tell you what I seriously thought. Name was fine, meaning was fine. I was thinking of how is he going to be ridiculed or made fun of?
Right.
And for me, it was, those kids are going to call him PP. That's how kids are. Y'all laugh. I was in elementary. I was in middle school. I was in, you know, I know how we are. Kids are mean. If they can't find something wrong with you, they're going to make up something. I was like, okay, they're going to call you pee-pee. So here's the deal. I finally came to grips with it because I was like, okay, you know what? I'm going to accept that name, but I'm going to teach him to be secure in who he is. And if that don't work, I'm going to teach him how to pop somebody in their mouth. He's going to get called pee-pee one time. And that's it, you know. That's it. You know, hey. I'm warning you, I did that. Don't call him that because, you know, they're going to be, a reputation around the block. So I came to grips with, I said, yes, that's the name. I'm cool with it. I had resolved. You know, ladies, look at us. Men, we're actually very simple. We think of simple things that some women just, I don't understand. my wife came in one day. Preston and I, there was laundry on the couch. And, I was picking him up. I was supposed to be folding up the laundry. Preston was playing, looking at the laundry. Preston's playing. Y'all know what a man does. I go and pick up Preston. I'm throwing him in the laundry. Pick him up, throw him in the laundry. Pick him up, throw him in the laundry. And he's just giggling and laughing and this and that. He just loves it. And Jennifer walks in. She's like, what the heck? She don't understand. She's like, I don't understand, man. What? Why do y'all like that? Like, just, man, we're different folk. That's how we are. Genesis chapter 26, verse 12 through 17. Now Isaac sowed in that land. Now this is the same Isaac who was lying earlier, right? He sowed in that land and reaped in the same year a hundredfold. And the Lord blessed him. Now, that's obviously great in and of itself. A hundredfold in a great economy, that's awesome. Go back to verse 1. What was going on in that land?
Famine.
And yet here is the man of God with the promise. He sowed in that land and made a hundredfold return. You tell me God is not the God of his people. The Lord blessed him. Verse 13, and the man became rich and continued to grow richer until he became very wealthy. For he had possessions of flocks and herds and a great household, so that the Philistines envied him. Now all the wells which his father's servants had dug in the days of Abraham, his father, the Philistines stopped up by filling them with earth. Then Abimelech said to Isaac, go away from us, for you are too powerful for us. And Isaac departed from there and camped in the valley of Gerar and settled there. Understand this, that all of us are going to do exploits in the name of God. Right. It has nothing to do with the fourfold ministry. This is not relegated to just Brother John, Brother Damon, Brother Richard. They're going to do great things. No, this whole congregation is going to do great things. Why? Because this is an assembly or a ministry that equips its people to go do the work of the ministry. Amen. Y'all understand that equipping happens here, service happens outside. So all of us are going to do great works in our sphere of influence. This got to a point that Abimelech, in verse 16, said to Isaac, go away from us, you are too powerful. You are too powerful. Verse 18. Sorry, listen to the Spirit. Then Isaac dug again the wells of water. And I shouldn't apologize for that. Spirit of God said, don't apologize for listening to my spirit. then Isaac dug. See, I get corrected in the middle. Dug again the wells of water which had been dug in the days of his father Abraham, for the Philistines had stopped them up after the death of Abraham, and he gave them the same names which his father had given them. But when Isaac's servants dug in the valley and found there a well of flowing water, the herdsmen of Gerar quarreled with the herdsmen of Isaac, saying, the water is ours. So he named the well Esek, because they contended with them. Then they dug another well, and they quarreled over it too, so he named it Sitnah. He moved away from there and dug another well, and they did not quarrel over it, so he named it Rehoboth. For he said, at last the Lord has made room for us, and we will be fruitful in the land. Then he went up from there to Beersheba. The Lord appeared to him the same night and said, I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bless you and multiply your descendants for the sake of my servant Abraham. So he built an altar there and called upon the name of the Lord and pitched his tent there, and there Isaac's servants dug a well. Then Abimelech came to him from Gerar with his advisor Ahuzeth and Phicol. I don't know if I'm saying these right. The commander of his army. Isaac said to them, why have you come to me since you hate me and have sent me away from you? They said, we see plainly that the Lord has been with you. So we said, let there now be an oath between us, even between you and us, and let us make a covenant with you that you will do us no harm, just as we have not touched you and have done to you nothing but good and have sent you away in peace. You are now the blessed of the Lord. Back to this genetic predisposition. There are, as I mentioned before, we're predisposed to some things. These things can be broken. They can be gotten rid of. The thing is that we, not only do we have to learn it, but we've got to teach our kids and our kids' kids. Because what happens is that even if you're successful in overcoming this, it's still a part of your lineage and could affect your children. They say this is even in medical science that yes, you can get rid of some things that are in your genetics, but it takes several generations. And so understand that your life is not just about you. Come on. Your life impacts two generations down, three generations down. So if we don't get some things right in our world, our children's children are impacted. The same way that if we get things right in our world, Abraham got some things right. It said it was credited to him in his righteousness. Who was blessed because of it? Not just Isaac, but everyone here, the church. We are living on a covenant, or a blessing, I should say. We got a new covenant, but a blessing that was promised way back when. You understand? That's why it's important. You know, I tell people all the time that your life is, it impacts more than just you. It's your sphere of influence. It's those people that you run into. Now, Isaac, in this passage, we see that he went back to the wells that Abraham used, the wells. You know, I get to benefit from being here at House of the Lord, being under the teaching of Pastor Jim, because it's not just the teaching that Pastor brings, but he tells us of the wells that he used. And it allows us to go back to those wells. And I had brought up, these are over the years, things that I consider wells in my life that I see through Pastor Jim. When I first got to House of the Lord, I told you it was a very weird experience. I was Southern Baptist. House of the Lord is very different than Southern Baptist. And I came here. I was excited. I knew that Brother John was real. I knew that he was on fire for the Lord, and I was attracted to that. I knew that he knew the Word. I knew that Sister Gail, she had the spiritual anointing to come and clean house, if you will, make sure that we were on the spiritual straight and narrow. I didn't know anything else about House of the Lord. I didn't know Pastor Jim. I didn't know any, you know. I remember the first time I came there, and again, Southern Baptist. I thought this church was weird. There was a minister. He used to come very frequently, Dwayne Allen, anointing people with oil. I was like, what is this, anointing people with oil? What's going on here, you know? Just got his little jar and, you know, laying hands on people and anointing them with oil and speaking the blessing. And, you know, I didn't understand it. It looked weird. But then I would go to the Word, and I would see, oh, that's in there. You know, and then I would look, and I'd say, that looks weird, and that's not what I was taught. But then I would go to the Word, and I'd be like, okay, it's in there. And so I had to learn and grow up. The very first thing that I went through when I got to House of the Lord was this book, Laying the Foundations. This is one of the classes that House of the Lord taught. This is one of the wells that I came to draw upon that Pastor Jim had taught. Now, when I got to this class, this was taught by our very own brother, Derek. I don't know if he remembers that, but it was a long time, and it blew me. You talk about, you know, the kids nowadays, they do this, you know, blew your mind. Because I knew scriptures, you know. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. You know, I knew all these scriptures. I knew the Romans wrote. I knew salvation. And I get into this class and talking about Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. These are the elementary things of the gospel. I was like, elementary? This stuff looks advanced, you know. I mean, you go to the scripture, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. It talks about repentance from dead works, faith towards God, doctrine of baptisms, laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead, eternal judgment. We didn't cover this stuff, you know. This is, the scriptures call this elementary teachings of the gospel. And here's Brother Derek teaching this, and I'm just like, well, I gotta have a notebook. You know, I'm studying scripture because this is elementary. You know, Pastor used to tell us, you know, you need to grow up spiritually. And he'd tell us to read some of the writings of Kenneth Hagin. You know, you flip through and I'm growing spiritually. And, you know, he says, no, the spiritual man is the one who knows what belongs to him in Christ Jesus and takes advantage of it. Well, apparently, I didn't know what all belonged to me in Christ Jesus. So I had to learn, and you know, you've heard it said over and over with Pastor Jim. Go through the new covenant. Find out what promises God has made available for you and lay hold of it. Some of y'all won't recognize this book. Pastor, of course, does. Release to Reign. This has been redone. It's in the bookstore. It's now called Why God Became Man. I got the old school version. You know, you go through stuff like this. It says, Satan doesn't want you to know or appropriate this dominion. He knows that when you discover his total defeat, who you are and why you're here, his days of running you around are over. This is the well that Pastor Jim had opened up for us. And so I had to go and look into the Word and redig the dirt out that maybe some people have covered to find out the truths that he was sharing. The Power of Your Words. This is by Don Gossett and E.W. Kenyon. Y'all have heard Pastor over and over mention that E.W. Kenyon, of all the authors that he's read and studied, this is the one who's impacted him the most. I know E.W., you know, that's way before my time. You know, I'm reading this stuff. The believer who is always confessing his sins and his weaknesses is building weaknesses, failure, and sin into his consciousness. I was like, what? The Bible says we're supposed to confess our sins. You know, I had to learn, well, what is he talking about? We should never remind ourselves or the Lord of our failings or of our past mistakes. We remind him of his word. That's the power of our words. You know, I get to, thought we was related when I met this dude. Well, not met him, but I seen him on TV. Dr. Fred K.C. Price. I was like, family. You know, faith, foolishness, and presumption. I'm telling y'all, y'all understand if I step on some toes. I'm just keeping it real. You know, we used to cast out calories and different things. And no, don't eat the fifth piece of cake. Faith, foolishness, and presumption. We're talking about we're going to eat the whole thing of Bluebell, and then I cast that down. I will not grow big. I will not grow. What? Money cometh. Now, y'all got to understand, this was powerful to me because, you know, I grew up in the financial planning realm. I knew financial planning backwards and forwards. I didn't know they had it in, you know, the spiritual sense. And so I was like, ooh, lay hold of this. We're going to teach this. You know, you walk through this stuff and reading how God wants you blessed. When you're not listening to God and obeying him, it holds you back from blessing you like he wants to. We talked about that earlier. Pastor Jim, he mentions E.W. Kenyon in the light of our redemption. Y'all don't recognize this. This is old school. This is the new one. Such a blessing. How many of y'all are on social media with Kennard? Okay. Kennard, you need to get some on Facebook. You cannot be on social media with Kennard without, in a month's time, getting a quote from E.W. Kenyon. You know that brother is studying some E.W. It's like, I don't know how frequently it is, but once every 2 weeks or once a week, it's changed his life. Why? Because he's heard from Pastor Jim, he received from Pastor Jim, and he knew a well that Pastor Jim was drawing from, and he went to the well. And I'm telling you, connect with Kennard, you're going to get some E.W. Kenyon quotes. Lost Secrets of the New Covenant. Y'all remember studying this. Training for Reigning. Y'all remember this. I love this. This is going to chip some out. As a minister, I have learned there are some people who love me and stay with me as long as the Holy Spirit is doing magnificent, marvelous things, but they are out of the door the moment I have a dry spell and there doesn't seem to be any anointing. Miracles don't produce character. These are all the wells that Pastor Jim drew from and he encouraged us to draw from. And in the scriptures, we talk about how Isaac, he started digging some of his own wells. And ever since I came to the house of the Lord, we started digging some of our own wells. It was the blessings of the Sanders that brought this to our church. Do y'all remember this?
Yeah.
Teaching on this, the spirit-filled temperament. Now, it was such a blessing to me because I'm different. I'm built differently than Jennifer, as you can understand. I didn't know. I knew about my personality. I didn't know I was considered a phlegmatic. I didn't know what a phlegmatic was. I'm actually phlegmatic melancholy, but that's another story. I didn't know Jennifer was melancholy. I just knew that she was different. And the differences frustrated me. It wasn't until getting into the Sanders class that I realized, oh, okay, so Jennifer's a choleric, or excuse me, melancholy. And, you know, I understood, and I became more accepting, if you will, because I understood that the differences are good for the body. I understood and realized that, you know, Pastor's a choleric, Sister Jerry's a choleric, Tina is a sanguine. I'm going to read this about Tina since she's not here. The spirit-filled sanguine. They will probably talk, this is the spirit-filled section, so you got your pre-Christ, after Christ. This is spirit-filled. So this is about Tina. We love you, Tina. She's going to watch this later. They will probably talk just as much, but their conversation will often be about their new life in Christ, which has now come to occupy their interest. They will still feel emotions of others, but with purposeful compassion. Instead of just weeping with those who weep, they will now encourage them by sharing the promises of God and pointing them to Jesus. I mean, that's a blessing. The spirit-controlled temperament. These two books, The Assignment and Prayer Walking, these were lessons or books that were taught by our very own Pastor Roger Pillmore. And I sat in his classes and got so much from he and Sister Nancy. And, you know, prayer walking, what a novel concept. You know, talking about taking over your community, how about prayer walking? You know, not necessarily doing anything. God will lead you, but just prayer walking. Talk about covering your community with love. I got so much out of it. And then the men's department, talking about the three different wells that we started on our own. Men's department, every man's battle. Y'all remember this. We went through this. When men look at sensual things, it can make them less satisfied with their wives. In your relationships with your children, the knowledge that you could break patterns of generational sin is wondrous. If you're coming out of generational sin, you might continue to fight the good fight for your children and for your children's children. These are things that are being taught through the people of House of the Lord, through the ministers, through the fellowship that we have. Here's the point. A person who lays hold of the word by grace can overcome genetic predispositions, which in this case was fear and faithlessness, and even a bad economy. What does 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 say? That we are led in triumph in Christ Jesus. We are continuously led in triumph in Christ Jesus. Our identity is no longer constrained to genetics or environment. There's been this age-old debate of what's stronger, genetics or environment. And researchers and psychologists have looked at this to decide, is it, can genetics overpower the environment that you're in? Can the environment overpower a person's genetics? And guess what the research says? It's inconclusive. They don't know. They spend a lot of time researching this. It's the age-old debate of nature versus nurture. Which is more powerful? They see evidence that the environment can change someone who came from, let's say their parents were predisposed to criminality, and that's why they study it, is for looking at, are they going to repeat the same things that their parents did? The answer was inconclusive, but yet in Christ, it's very conclusive.
Yeah.
That it doesn't matter what your parents did. It doesn't matter what your grandparents did. There is deliverance. And that deliverance comes because of the environment that we're in. It comes from the environment of us teaching one another, of us encouraging one another. I am a firm believer that environment definitely trumps genetics. Environment can definitely trump genetics. And also, I'm a firm believer that with genetic predispositions, the things that we learn and grow in, we can pass on to third and fourth generations. So don't ever get caught up in, well, I got to get things right for me. No, this thing is so much about others. It's about so much bigger than our life. When we look at outreach discipleship, it even comes in the spiritual sense. If you're not prone to come to church on a regular basis, it's still okay to share and witness to people, but don't pass that on. Because the scripture says, do not forsake the assembling of ourselves. So I may not be a regular churchgoer. I can still minister to others and point them to the word. I may not be one of those who likes to serve the pastor. I want the pastor to serve me. But yet in scripture, it talks about double honor. I need to pass that on, not my predisposition. Do y'all see that? Father, thank you for your word, Lord. We are delivered, Father. We understand that there are things that we may be predisposed to, Father, but your word is much stronger than the things that we are predisposed to, Father. It's your anointing that corrodes every yoke of bondage in our lives, Father. Lord, some of us may have been through upsets in our life because of our parents or grandparents. Some of us may have been abused, Father. We look to you as the one who restores us, Father, who fixes us, Lord. We thank you that our focus is no longer on us. Just as Paul said, it is no longer we who live, but Christ who lives in us, Father. And we choose to focus on your redemptive work. We choose to focus on what our Lord and Savior has done on our behalf, Father. We receive the it is written word of truth, Father. And in every situation of our life, we are going to speak it is written, Lord. We realize that our life, the 120 years that we're here, it's not just limited to us, Father, but we are impacting others, Father, even others that are in our generation, Lord. We thank you for that impact of our third, fourth generations, those that we minister to in this generation who will be changed and reach their third and fourth generations, Father. So thank you for this kingdom that's being built, this kingdom that's being manifest here on the earth, Father. We love you. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. If there are any of you who need prayer in any area as it relates to the things that we talked about, or you just need a point of agreement, there will be ministers here to minister with you, to speak it is written with you. Do you have anything, Pastor? All right, well, stand. I will just say that I call you the blessed of the Lord. The Lord's hand is upon your life. You are healed, delivered, and set free. And no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue that rises against you in judgment, we cast down and call null and void of effect. Go out and reach others for God's kingdom.